we're certainly glad you're tuned in. You're listening to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends on one of our four frequencies, or maybe you're listening online to our streaming audio or the archive version of this morning's program. Well, welcome to the Ministry of Great News Radio. It's Friday. It's May 18th. We made it, everyone. We made it to Friday. Congratulations. You just get through today's workday, and you have the weekend ahead of you, a time to meet with friends and family members, maybe some hobbies, then the Sabbath rest and attending church and Sunday school and getting filled up so that the Lord can equip you for a good week in the days ahead. And we're going to talk about someone that helps equip and encourage his congregation to serve in the marketplace and to serve as retirees, to be that model of Christ's love and compassion to a hurting world. In the studio with me is Pastor Silas Montgomery, and he's the pastor at the Christian Bible Church, which incidentally, tomorrow, the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on a free concert at 6 p.m., so that's Saturday, May 19th, tomorrow, at the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park, Illinois, basically about 3.5 miles north of Rankin. It's right on Route 49, so those of you that travel to and fro, just get on Route 74, take that Rankin exit, that's exit 200, and head about 20, 25 miles due north, and you can't miss the Christian Bible Church, about 3.5 miles north of Rankin, right there near Cisna Park, Illinois, and it's a free concert beginning at 6 p.m. So it worked out wonderfully, Pastor Silas, that you were available today on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. So yeah. I want to have you share some of your life story and experience and how God brought you to this area. But first, I'm going to have you read one of your favorite passages. But first, before that, I want to share a little God sighting and a shout out for an MRI tech at the Carl Clinic in Urbana. Sandy, welcome to the Radio Ministry of Great News Radio. She helped me through my MRI. Those things, it took an hour and like 35 minutes in that thing.
That's a long time in the tube.
Yeah. And so I asked her beforehand, is there anything I can pray for you about? So it was kind of interesting how God had us meet up. And I saw God using this other gal, this other nurse, get down at the level of a child on her hands and knees and minister to this child, explain what was going to go on and what to expect. And she had some fun little buttons or, things pinned on to her that was very child-friendly. Wow. And this gal was just down at the child's level.
Wow.
Loving on her and caring for her. And I thought, thank you, God, for healthcare workers like that, that you can work in and through to calm like a child's fear. And I was just so blessed watching this gal. And I thought, I said to my technician, well, can she hold my hand during this time? It was a hoot, but
that's neat.
I really had a sense and appreciation for how God uses these healthcare workers to just demonstrate love, care, compassion, empathy, and to navigate somebody, especially a little child, through maybe what could be considered scary or awkward or being in that MRI. It's, you know, that long tube and you're in there for, you know, hour and a half and everything. So anyways, thank you, Sandy, for doing such a great job. When she put the IV in me, it didn't hurt. And, you know, I got through it all. So we appreciate all of our doctor friends and healthcare workers at Carl, and
praise God for them.
Covenant and Christy, or I forget all the different names we have locally, but well, why don't we begin with your favorite passage out of Isaiah? Mm-hmm. I know it's chapter 56. Reading that and sharing why it's important or why it's unique or why God has used that in your life, and then introduce yourself to our radio listening family.
Yeah, I'd love to, Mark. It's Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. You know, Mark, I love that passage because it shows me the heart of God. That God's heart is for the outcast. God's heart is for the downtrodden. You know, the foreigners and the eunuchs, they weren't allowed into the temple to worship. They couldn't do it. They couldn't offer the sacrifices. They couldn't be present as God's people worshiped him. And so God says, you know, just because you can't be there, don't think that I've forgotten you. I haven't. I love you too. In fact, I love you so much, I'm going to make special promises just to you that only apply to people in your situation. You eunuchs, you can't have children. So I'm going to give you a monument and a name that's better than sons and daughters. And you foreigners, you can't come into my temple, but I'm going to make my house of prayer a house for all peoples. You know, that heart that God has for the outcasts, for the downtrodden, boy, I pray every day that it be my heart, because he loves them so much.
I've heard some people preach on portions of that passage, but this is the first time someone has said it's one of their favorite or it's a unique, a special one for them. But I love what you've just said and shared. And you can share that from a unique perspective, because my understanding is from Pastor Jason and a few others that have said, oh, you need to get Pastor Silas in the studio and share his testimony. Because I think one of my friends had referenced or said that your great-grandparents were a part of the Holocaust, so you have a Jewish background?
Yeah, I am Jewish. You know, you can't really tell by my name. My first name is a Greek name, Silas, and my last name is a French name, Montgomery.
Yeah, so tell us a little about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting coincidence. I would be Silas Yakerzinski, but my father's parents died in a car crash when he was three, the Yakerzinskis, and he was adopted, he and his brother, by the Montgomerys. So he took their name. But his grandparents were in the Holocaust, and my mother's side as well. So I am Jewish, and I look at the Old Testament as a book that's very near and dear to me.
Did your father, did he marry a Jewish woman? Or, tell us a little of that narrative and how you came to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of my parents are Jewish. My father was raised, by the Montgomerys, so I believe they were Anglican. And my mother was raised originally Orthodox. She's Jewish. My mother, her maiden name was Stein. They both actually came to the Lord before I was born, about 10 years prior to my birth. So I was raised in a largely Christian home, but very Jewish as well. We're Jewish. We do the Jewish things. I celebrate my culture. My bachelor's degree is in Judaic studies, and I chose that because I wanted to learn about my people and about our history.
What was one of those turning points for you where you identified Jesus as your own Lord and Savior, and not just your parents' faith?
Yeah, boy, that could go on for hours and hours there. But the short story is my parents, though they were both Christians, they did not want me and my siblings, I'm the youngest of seven, they didn't want us to be Christians simply because they were. They encouraged us actively to pursue faith and to pursue it on our own terms, to look for God as he reveals himself to us. And for me, that meant really examining a lot of the major faiths of the world, you know, as much as a 14-year-old could. But, I read the Book of Mormon, I read the Quran, I read the Old Testament, I read the New Testament, obviously. I looked at all these different faiths, and I looked at no faith, at atheism as well, and the only one that really seemed to match the universe as I understood it was Christianity. It was hand in glove, you know. God in some of those religions is not a loving God. And God in some of the other religions that I looked at is not a reasonable God. He doesn't operate reasonably and logically and rationally. And I say, you know, this is a reasonable world we live in, and love is the highest virtue. So the God for me has to be the only true God there could be is one that is love and that is reasonable and is rational. And boy, that's Christianity to a T.
Now, was there a point where you were in rebellion, or were you always like a good kid walking kind of faithfully, and then you're reading these books, and you say, Mom, I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart. He seems to make sense to me. And tell us a little of that. I will point out that, do a little shout out for your dad. I know you're 27 and single. Available women out there.
Jewish women.
Yeah. 27 and single. Pastor Silas Montgomery, senior pastor at the Christian Bible Church. If you come out to the Singing Men concert, I'll introduce you to. Okay, anyways. I know
my dad is going
to
love you, Mark.
Yeah. So tell us a little of that narrative through your younger years and how you began to really connect with the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, I can't think of a time when I was particularly rebellious. Mm-hmm. My dad may, you know, my mother's deceased, but he may. But it really was just a gradual, you know, this is the one that makes sense. And so I can remember praying, God, you know, I see that this is true. I'm going to live my life for you. Mm-hmm. And really, I've done that ever since I was about 14.
Then when did the maybe specific calling to be a pastor or to work with youth? Because I know you've been involved in many missions trips, but what were the steps that brought you to the point where you're the pastor now at the Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park?
Sure. Well, I graduated from high school, and I went to college, you know.
Where was the high school? Where are you living at this point?
Yeah, Tucson, Arizona. I was born and raised for just about all my life. And I was going to high school. I went to Ace Charter High School, the Eagles. And then I went to the University of Arizona, and, you know, I don't really apologize to your brother for that. I chose the better university.
Yes, Stu, we were talking about this off air that I said that you went to ASU, the Sun Devils, and I made the mistake. I said, now, Tucson, is that north? And he said, no, that's south. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Flagstaff is north, where my brother was a firefighter, my older brother. And then you made a comment about, I said the Sun Devils, and you said...
It's actually pronounced Scum Devils.
So I know my brother's going to want
that's
equal time, but I know you're a Wildcat fan.
I am a Wildcat fan.
But you did cheer on the Fighting Illini
when we were
against ASU last year.
Yeah, back in September, I proudly went to the Illini game when they were playing against ASU, and I wore my big Arizona Cowboy hat, and I bought a big Illini rubber finger, and I loved that game. Yeah. Go Illini every time you're playing ASU.
Okay, so you grew up in Arizona.
Grew up in Arizona.
High school, college at the University of Arizona.
And it really was at Arizona where I began to sense that call, and you know, I started talking to people that I really respected their opinions, my pastor, a lot of my family, and I was talking to my professors about it too, and I said, okay, my professors were very strongly against the idea of me going into the pastorate. It's a large secular school, and you know, I said earlier my degree is in Judaic studies, and that's not a particularly friendly degree towards Christianity, although I do need to say I had great professors, and it is a great program there.
Now,
is this
at?
The University of Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Great program, loved my professors, I still do, but they did not think that I should go into the ministry. So I talking to my professors, and they said, you know, perhaps not ministry, but graduate studies are okay, you know, obviously. And so I said, okay, well, I'll go to a seminary where I could at least entertain the idea of going into ministry, because the thought was in my mind, and I'd been praying about it and consulting and thinking. And so I started looking at seminaries, and I wound up going to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School up north of Chicago, and boy, I loved it. I had a great experience there. Highs and lows, but... Boy, I think I got the best education I could possibly get there.
So part of maybe what was ministering to you is just the deep study, the I guess examining the scriptures or debating or talking through or wrestling or struggling. Yeah. I know that's Jason Schiffo, my co-host on Wednesday, that Jewish tradition is when you divide God's word, you kind of wrestle through it. Yeah. You almost argue through it. You kind of divide it and question it. And like where God oftentimes, in many examples, people had to wrestle with him over issues, and so that was maybe one of those you love to study, you love to research.
Absolutely, and that Trinity is a very academic seminary. I fell in love there. It was great, and it was there when I really said, okay, you know, it's not just a matter of study. It needs to be a matter of the heart. It needs to be a matter of the spirit as well, not just the mind. And so I began looking at my options and praying about it, and that sense of being called to the pastor really was confirmed there. Mm-hmm. Whereas at Arizona, my pastor confirmed it and my family confirmed it, but not all of my professors did. And so I got that at Trinity, and that brought me to ministry.
Now, I know you've been involved in a lot of short-term ministry experiences that included New Orleans, New York, local ministries, local outreaches, and then serving in Japan. Is there something unique from some of these different ministry stories or ministry adventures that you can share?
Yeah, there's a great story that just shows God's providence, Mark, that I think is wonderful. It was in Japan. I was one of the chaperoning adults on a high school youth group mission trip to Japan. We had a great evangelistic outreach. Souls were saved. It was wonderful. And we were coming home, going through Tokyo Narita Airport back to Chicago. And one of my high school students, in good high school-y fashion, decided he wanted to bring a sword back to America from Japan.
On the flight.
On the flight. He didn't even put it in his checked bag. He tried to bring it in his on-flight bag, his carry-on. And it was the providence of God that he and I did not spend a few days in a Japanese holding cell. He put it in his carry-on bag, and naturally the metal detector found it. And one of the security agents very politely, very kindly, I can only say good things about how they handled it, took it out of his bag and asked him why it was there. And it made my heart stop because he took it out of the security guard's hand, put it back in his bag, and tried to walk through the security.
Oh, jeez.
And I won't say who it was. I'm sure he'll listen to this broadcast, and he knows who he is. Yeah. But he did that, and I said, so-and-so, come over here. I said, right now you have three things you can say. You can say yes, thank you, and I'm sorry. Those are the only things you can say, the only things you can do. That's it. That and pray. And so they took it back out of his bag, and then they took an open bottle of water out of his bag, and then they took some food out of his bag. And right next to where they're doing this, there's a picture of all the things you cannot take through security. And there's food on that list, and there's water on that list, and there's weapons on it. And I'm just thinking, God, I don't want to die in a Japanese prison. And I'm right behind him. I'm in his group. I'm chaperoning it. And, you know, the security agents, they confiscated all of that. They were very polite. He began to be very apologetic, and God saw us through. We made our flight, but it was a prickly situation.
In case you just tuned in, I have Pastor Silas Montgomery in the studio with me here on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Incidentally, tomorrow, the Singing Men of GNN will be at his church, the Christian Bible Church, just south of Cisna Park, actually about 3.5 miles north of Rankin. So just get on Route 49, and when you get between Rankin and Cisna Park, you'll see the Christian Bible Church. It's a free concert at 6 p.m., and Pastor Silas is the pastor there. And so in our closing couple minutes...
Yeah.
How did you get called to be the pastor at the Christian Bible Church?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went to Trinity, as I said before, and really discerned my call to ministry there. And the heart that was put on me, I think it was from God, was for the overlooked church, the parts of church in the country that just are not served. You know, people serve in suburban churches. That's where most of my classmates went. And people serve in urban churches, and that's where another large portion of my classmates went. But so few people were willing to go to rural churches. And I said, man, those rural churches, they need competent, qualified, trained pastors, too. They need men that desire God first. And I saw that, and I prayed about it, and I said, okay. And I started looking, finding out what the options were. And it just so happened that one of my closest friends at Trinity, that his father... was a deacon at Cisna, at Christian Bible Church here, and through meeting him and interacting with them, I preached there, and that, you know, one thing led to another, and so I served at Christian Bible Church in Cisna after meeting that young man, that friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Lauren Bauer sings with the Singing Men of GNN, and he attends there, and I think there's some roots way back with that Christian Bible Church with this radio ministry, some people that have been praying for the radio ministry before we went on the air, and many years ago, I think we spoke there and shared there, and so we appreciate the opportunity tomorrow to have the Singing Men sing and share and declare the wonders of God. In our closing minute or two, how can we pray for you and your church and the ministry that you see God laying out for you in the days ahead?
Absolutely. You know, I'd say this, Mark. Rejoice. Rejoice. Mm-hmm. God has blessed me and Cisna Park with some great churches, among them my church. The people at my church are kind, honest people. There is rarely, if ever, a shortage of volunteers. People love one another, and that is a cause to rejoice. Mm-hmm. So when you think of my church, when you think of me, rejoice, praise God, and ask that He would allow that to continue.
Wow, Pastor Silas, what a unique and wonderful way to ask our radio listening family to be praying for you in the Christian Bible Church. And I just so happen to have some verses on rejoice in front of me. Romans 5, 2 and 3. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and everyone knows the end of that one. Romans 5:11, Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Praise the Lord. I added that. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Romans 15:10, again I say, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And finally, Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. No extra charge, Silas, and everyone on those passages on rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Hey, I got one final question. If you had unlimited resources, say multi-millions of dollars, wow, what would you do with it?
Well, besides go fishing.
Yeah. Fishing, qualifies you to go fishing.
You know, I think I would do this. I would look to encourage seminaries financially to train and equip young men to serve in rural churches. Mm-hmm. The rural churches need more men. They need people who are willing to serve in them, who desire to serve in them, not just as a stepping stone, not just as a place to go until you find another place, but men who are dedicated to them. So I'd want to equip seminaries to find and train those men.
Well, thanks for sharing, Pastor Silas, and being a part of the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to singing at your church tomorrow. You're all invited. Everyone come out. It's a free concert. It begins at 6 p.m. That's Saturday, tomorrow, May 19th, at the Christian Bible Church, right on Route 49, about 3.5 miles north of Rankin, between Rankin and Cisna Park. The Christian Bible Church has great parking for you. Free parking. Just come on.
That's
you
right.
Can park anywhere there. And we'll sing at 6 p.m. for the Singing Men of GNN under the direction and leadership of Stephen McCleary. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.